Today on the line on the Trending 55 hot seat is Peace River MLA Dan Williams on what has been a busy few weeks since we last heard from you. Dan, always good to check in with you. How are you doing today?
Very well, thanks. Always good to hear from you, Kenny.
Awesome. So I guess the first question is that obviously the province has chosen scenario one, which is a near full resumption of in-class learning, obviously with social distancing measures and regular sanitization in place. And talking to a lot of different people, do you see to get the feeling that there's an excitement to go back to school, some anxiety? Overall, what are the thoughts you're hearing from the folks you've spoken with?
Well, I think that's exactly it, a bit of both. There's a lot of optimism and excitement, but they're cautious. Parents care about their kids. They care about the kids' health. They care about the kids' education. Ultimately, what this is the provincial government trusting parents and kids to be responsible actors as we open up schools safely come this fall with, as you mentioned, a number of precautions in place on the recommendations of our public health officer, Gina Henshaw, to make sure when kids are there, they're learning and they're learning safely.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know, I guess one of the things, I actually had a chance to look at this. The NDP had a chance to release a plan yesterday, and their plan, and I was looking over at the cost when I saw like nearly $1 billion of how much it would cost under their plan to go to school. I kind of see where they're coming from, but that's sure a lot of money in a time that maybe a lot of money is not around. But in saying that, though, there is going to be an increased cost. I know speaking with Superintendent Paul Bennett at the Peace River School Division, he said that the PRSD anticipates a budget increase of $500,000 coming from increased sanitizing and cleaning costs. Are you aware if there's going to be any help from the provinces or the school boards going to have to dip into reserves? How do you think they can counteract that?
Yeah, the province is going to be making sure that we support as much as we can. So roughly $120 million across the province is going to be allocated for operational funding for things like hand sanitizing, et cetera, in the precautions that need to be taken in COVID in schools. And there are a number of school authorities that allocated money as well, as you mentioned, the Peace River School Division and Holy Family Catholic Division are also looking at different ways to make sure that they can responsibly open up those schools, make sure that they serve the families that they're there to serve by educating their kids in the highest quality education.
All right. That's always interesting. And Dan, also yesterday, we know not very often that the Alberta government and the federal government are able to work together, but in terms of $25 a day child care, and obviously talk about the importance of this announcement. It's a total $19 billion around the country. How much of that's going to come to Alberta? We know that the province is contributing as well. And also, yeah. I guess, what's the contribution? And talk about the spinoff effect that parents get to go back to work.
Yeah, that's right. So what this is, it's a continuation and a deal struck of a $45 million funding agreement, where bilateral agreement between the federal government and the provincial government to fund child care. And what we're focusing on are those families who are most in need. So we're going to see an increase of the number of families that will be able to have access to this. In total, parents of about 28,000 children are going to end up having access to this subsidy. And if you, for example, are a single mother earning approximately $60,000 a year, maybe even less, you're going to see your subsidies go up from about $120, $130 to about $480 a month. That's something that's really helpful for the families that are most in need. Rather than just having a system where any family can apply, we're making sure that those who are most in need of childcare are the ones that are getting it.
Okay, great. And I know I was going to, this is something that I'd been meaning to bring up for a little bit, but did forget about it the first couple of times. But I guess because obviously the NDP is mentioning parks again. So I guess one thing, and it's a specific park. I know that Reeve Carolyn Kolobaba had sent to you, the environment minister, as well as your colleague in Lesser Slave Lake, Pat Rain, a letter about the future of Green Valley Provincial Park, and they're hoping it can remain under the park status. Have you seen that letter and had a chance to show it to the minister, and is there any possible solutions on that, seeing as how, you know, up here in Peace River, that's like the site of the burial site of the founder, Davis?
Yes, that's right. So I believe that site is not technically within my constituency, but nonetheless, is something that's important to me. I've spoken to the minister about the parks situation, and I'm working with my colleague Pat Wren to make sure that everything we can do is done to make sure folks understand that parks are not being sold or closed. Effectively, what is happening is there's a limited number of parks that have a situation where there will be less services. So you're going to have to pack out what you pack in for garbage. There's not going to be hand sanitizer supplied in all these parks necessarily in the outhouses. There's going to be more responsibility on individual users to make sure that they're responsible. But the parks are not being closed, which is ultimately, when I talk to constituents, it's what they care about. And we're happy to work with other municipalities, First Nation groups, agricultural societies, other societies of any kind in the community that want to take over to provide higher level of services.
No doubt about that. And we know it, we said it again, and it seems like almost every week or every second week thereafter, the opposition is coming up with some kind of things. We know that I know your colleague Todd Lowe had mentioned in the House that they meant to put a wolf on there and it was actually a coyote. And something else about a deer from a European deer was also on the pamphlet.
Yeah,
so talking about that, I guess at the end of the day is a little bit frustrating on the other end that at least that's how they're framing it in terms of, like, you know, selling parks or handing off crown land or anything like that. There's got to be some frustration sometimes when it's cast that way.
Sure, it's frustrating, but I understand we live in a big province, and there's folks from urban centers that have never been to Peace River that don't understand the sheer scope of our province, the amount of space that we have, the crown land that we use and we recreate on, those First Nations who and Métis will harvest and exercise their rights on. It's such a big area, and the responsibility of taking care of it isn't just some novelty idea that progressives and woke urban Albertans think we don't care about because we live in rural Alberta. There's often this sense that they're the urban Albertans who are least fit to understand the nature of how we care for our rural province and the environment that we rely on for our resources, for our livelihoods, that we care deeply about. There's an impression from them that they know better than we do. The fact is that Albertans and those who live there are best suited to understand the nature of how to protect and maintain and sustain that environment which we depend on. And sometimes that's frustrating. But by and large, when I sit down with Albertans across the province, urban or rural, and we talk about the issues and they understand what we're doing and we're not closing parks, they understand that ultimately we care about preserving the wildlife and the sustainable ecology of our wild places in Alberta, folks understand and they come to a much better spot and they're very reasonable about it.
All right, great. Now, Dan, I guess we'll put a personal question out there since it's around the corner. Oilers-Blackhawks, five-game series, what do you got and how many games?
Oh, well, I'm an Oilers fan through and through, and it's genetic more than it is anything else. A good hockey fan doesn't cheer for the team that wins. They cheer for the team that their parents cheered for. So I'm born and raised an Oilers fan, so I'm going to say Oilers in three. And if that's wishful thinking, I'm happy to make the case for it.
That's awesome. 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 I'm hoping my Montreal Canadiens can last more than three games. I'm not necessarily sure about that, being objective about it. But you know what? We've seen weirder things happen when these seasons restart. And also, I guess I got another one asked because we did ask you about your mustache before and you mentioned personal grooming. But I'm curious now, has anyone come up to you and at least at any point said, hey, maybe that could be a good mustache to shave off for a donation or some sort of charity at some point? Anyone made that suggestion yet? Or?
Well, you might be the first. I don't think I'm well known or important or well enough loved to raise any money on charity yet. But maybe after a career of public service, I could do something. I guess I'll have to keep a mustache for a few years.
That's right. Well, Minister McKeever kept his, I think, for 45 years. So you've got another, I'd say, 44 years and 10 months to go.
Yeah, my wife's not going to be happy with you egging me on like that, Kenny.
Okay, well, hopefully, maybe we better keep that part off. Awesome. As always, Dan, we always appreciate the time and always appreciate you checking in with us. Have a good weekend. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
This is Dan Williams, MLA for Peace River on the Trending 55 Hot Seat.